I want to preach to you a word this morning simply called, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. I want to start with a story that I heard a long time ago, and it's a story actually from a couple of decades ago, Gene Stanberry. It was a story back when we had Sunday night service in our churches. We had Sunday night service, and there was a revival going on in this little town, and there was an evangelist that came in that night. And he was preaching that hell, fire, and brimstone, and he was bringing it hot, and he gave that altar call that night on that Sunday night to anyone and everyone who would want to accept and acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that night, there was no one that answered, at least out of the bat. No one answered. And so he was winding down service, doing the best he could to recover from no one answering the altar call. And as pastors, we know it's tough when no one answers the altar call. And so he started shifting gears, and he goes and gives the microphone to the local pastor, and the local pastor comes up, and on that Sunday night, he's ready to close down the service. He said, hey guys, wasn't it a good service? Come back tomorrow night. Hey, after service, we're all going to Wendy's and getting the 4 for $4, and man, it's going to be a great night. And as he was closing service, there's a gentleman there that had been coming to this church for decade upon decade, an elderly gentleman, but he wasn't so gentle on the inside. He was actually crotchety. He was critical. He was hard. His heart was so far from Christ. In that night, that special Sunday night, he walked up to the front to the evangelist, and he sat on the front row next to him, and he began to open his heart. And right there on that Sunday night, this elderly gentleman began to weep, and he began to cry. He began to give his heart to Jesus Christ. And all the congregation could see that from behind, he was like doing the shakes, right? He was doing the shake because he was deep crying. There was a deep groaning in his heart. And that night, this statement began to roll out of his mouth that could be heard over the whole congregation. He kept saying this one phrase, Scott. It literally is bone chilling. It literally will make your blood curl. He simply said over and over from the depth of his soul, I've wasted it. I've wasted it. I've wasted it. He began to cry out a little faster and a little louder. I've wasted it. I've wasted it. I've wasted it. What was he wasting? He looked back at this moment of redemption. He looked back at this moment of forgiveness. He was looking back on this moment, how God was resurrecting and transforming his life. But yet now he was looking back on the previous 70, the previous 80 years of his life, and how he hadn't done enough for Christ. And yet I'm also reminded of a story when I was at a youth camp several years ago. A young lady in worship service over on the right-hand side of the auditorium couldn't help but notice her because of her passion and her diligence at going with God. And I kind of snuck over to see what was going on inside of this wild woman, a teenager, a wild woman's act of worship. And she kept saying a phrase, Tom, over and over that evening. She kept saying this phrase, a little different, but yet kind of the same. She kept saying, I haven't done enough. She was literally going back and forth with such passion and tenacity towards Christ. She was saying, I haven't done enough. I haven't done enough. I haven't done enough. You see, this young lady's name was Allison, and she was looking into her senior year of high school and yet looking at her future in front of her. And she was crying from the depths of her soul, I haven't done enough. I have not done enough. And whether you're at the end of your life or you're at the beginning of your life, no matter what your phrase is, God today wants to wake us up to the reality that he's given us life to use with purpose. He's given us life to use with mission. He's given us life so that we can do something with it. You can make excuses all day long on you should have been born in a different era. You can make excuses about what you've done or who you've been around, or what kind of family you came in, or what kind of money you have, or what kind of money you don't have. We can make excuses all day, but the fact is God gave us breath here and now, and he wants us to do something with our life. He doesn't want us to waste it, and he wants us to do more than we're doing right now. In my old home, we had, right before we walked out the door, my wife had one of those little stenciling things, and I asked her when the kids were small to put up on the wall right above the door this simple old song and phrase. It says, only one life will soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. And every day I'd get my briefcase and my backpack, and my kids would get them little lunches, and then walk out the door, and they would be reminded of the mission that we're on, Roy, that we are to do something great with our lives. But most Americans, most humans, we tend to waste it, don't we? In fact, there's two little things that I have that really frame my life. This is Kyle. This is a little Kyle moment right here. There are two things that literally guide almost every decision in my life. Number one, I hate wasting time. And number two, I hate wasting money. I'm literally mad about $50 I lost a couple years ago on a bad thing. That I mean, like, it literally makes me pull my hair out. It literally makes me upset when I have to wait an extra 15 minutes at the railroad crossing over here and I can't make my way down Hebron Parkway. There are times in my life when I really get mad and upset because I'm wasting time and I'm wasting money, and we are not to waste. But most Americans, what do? We do waste. I found five reasons we waste. Five reasons that we waste our lives. Number one, we are just simply lazy. We get trapped in this mentality of this vegetation lifestyle. Like, a good Saturday is just to lay on the couch and watch TV and have the remote in our hand and do absolutely nothing. Like, this is our dream, right? Our dream is that we get 65 and 75 and we get to retire and we sit back and we do nothing. God has never called any of us to sit back and do nothing. You may retire from your current job, but he's still got mission. He still has purpose for your life. But we're caught up with, I'm going to stay here all day and play video games all day. I'm going to stay here all day and watch TV or, come on, thumb on my phone all day. And we end up doing nothing. Why? Because that's the American dream, that we sit back and collect seashells on the beach in Florida. But God didn't call you to retire and just collect seashells. He called you and I to retire and to work hard so that we can win people to Jesus Christ, so that we can influence others, so that we can turn cities around, nations around, communities around, so that we wouldn't waste our life. But come on, laziness, it gets into all of us, doesn't it? Number two, I see that people waste their life simply on this thing called sin. Everyone say sin. Sin is simply just disobedience towards God. You see, you can have a whole lot of lists of do's and don'ts, but those lists of do's and don'ts really don't compare with just the reality of what sin really is. If God's asked you to do something or not to do something and you don't obey, then that's sin. It's final. It can be the stupidest and silliest of things, but if it's between you and God and he told you not to go do that and you do it, then it's sin. You see, sin is this trap that we fall into of getting caught into this cycle of addiction and stronghold and these patterns of behavior. And some of us, we come guilty by association because we've got these generational curses upon our lives and we're just doing what our mom did and we're just doing what our grandma did and we're just doing what our dad did, and we fall into this pattern of sin and we look up and we're doing the same things they did and we've never busted out of it, stopped wasting lives and wasting moments and getting into where God wants us to go. Sin gets in the way and wastes your life. Number three, I simply see that we also fall into, this is not just with teenagers or young people. Usually when we hear this word peer pressure, we usually think of teenagers, right? Hey, you wanna smoke some marijuana, right? Hey, you wanna come over here and kiss in the back seat of my car? Usually that's when we think of peer pressure, but peer pressure also hits us adults right between the eyes. Because we get trapped in this idea of what everyone else is doing, the comparison game. They have this toy and I don't. They've got this promotion and I don't. They have this house and I don't. They have those clothes and I don't. We get caught in the comparison game, and because we're comparing ourselves to other people, we are wasting time and moments in our lives. Is somebody following me this morning? You see, all of a sudden, this is what begins to happen. All of a sudden, you start tracking your own life into what they're doing instead of what God's called you to do. God has called each of us with individual talents and purposes. Just because they're a doctor doesn't mean I have to be a doctor. Just because they invested in Bitcoin doesn't mean I have to invest in Bitcoin. Just because they go off and go on a mission trip doesn't mean I have to go off and go on a mission trip. God has got a calling that is unique upon my life and upon your life, and I am not to compare. I'm in competition. You've heard me say this before. I'm in competition with one person and one person only, and that's myself. And so it is with you. But we also see people waste their life. They waste their life because they've never been challenged. There's no challenge. We live in this culture where we have started to believe that one person can't make a difference. We're trapped this mentality that we've got to have all these people on our side. Oh, I've got to have, like, you ready for this? 10 million followers on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram in order to do something. Oh, I have to be a social media superstar and have all of these influencers so I can do something great with my life. Listen, do you understand that in this Bible, one is majority with God? That's all he needed was one Moses to stand up. Come on. That's all he needed was one Esther to go to the king. That's all he needs is one. One is still majority with God. You don't need a petition with 2/3 majority. You don't need a whole lot of people following you. If you will stand up and do something great with your life, you won't waste it. But we get trapped. We get trapped this mentality that one person can't do much. And then finally, number 5 in this little list I created, we simply see that most people have never encountered Jesus. And I'm talking about people in the church. They've never truly encountered Jesus. We just chalk Jesus up. We get trapped in mentality that he's just another superhero. He's just one of the, like, Batman, Superman. He's like some of the great historical figures over time, going back to all kinds of great leaders and all kinds of people. He was just a good philosopher and counselor and teacher. Jesus was so wise, and we waste our lives because we do not encounter Jesus. Jesus wants to get into the core and the guts and the DNA of who you and I are. He wants to transform our lives. And if we'll let him, we can really begin to see what the Bible talks about, that we will be born again. You see, most people come to church and they just pray a prayer. And that simple prayer is just the starting point of what God wants to do in making you born again. He wants to take away your filthy mouth. He wants to take away your perverted mind. He wants to take away stinking thinking and take out negative thinking and put in positive thinking. He wants to take out behaviors and attitudes. And if we will encounter Jesus, Jesus will take us on a journey that we will not waste anymore. Are you following me this morning? No waste, no waste, no waste. The Apostle Paul actually talked a lot about it in Scripture. In fact, almost every time he opened his mouth and he found a pen, he found one of those big pens and he found a little piece of paper, he'd be writing to the people, wouldn't he? If he was in jail, if he was in the grocery store, it didn't matter if he sat in his living room. Come on, Paul was always writing, and he was writing about a lot of subjects, but one of the subjects that was over and over was simply to a lot of audiences, whether it was Timothy, whether it was the Corinthians, whether it was the Romans, he was constantly talking about not wasting your life, like going and do something for God. And we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We see where Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and he said this, I like it. He said, I will, Paul, very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. This was Paul talking to this church and saying, hey, I'm sacrificing everything and I'm gonna spend all that I have. I like the Amplified version. It says this, I will most happily empty all my pockets. I'm gonna sit up here, I'm gonna empty my pockets and even mortgage my life for your good. Come on, how many of you know that's not wasting your life? That is giving all. And Paul set it up right there that I'm going to spin and be spent. Watch what he said to Timothy, his young protege, his mentor. He looked Timothy in the eyes and he said this. He says, for this reason, I will endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ, and with it, eternal glory. Watch the key words there. Come on, these are action verbs. Paul's saying, don't waste your life. I want you in using your life to know that you're gonna have to endure all things. I read a devotional just a couple of weeks ago, and it said this. I thought this was really good. It says, we are to have a soft heart and hard feet. A soft heart and hard feet. You get it, right? A soft heart to be open, to endure stuff, to be open, to hear stuff, to be open, to spend our lives. A soft heart and a hard feet. Why? Why hard feet? Because our feet are going down roads that are often hard and rocky and shaky. So we gotta have hard feet to be able to walk over criticism, tough times and moments. A soft heart to respond, but hard feet to walk through. But the problem with most of us is we actually flip that. We often have a hard heart and soft feet. Hello to social media world 2021. We care more about what people say, and we walk on eggshells, and we dance around subjects, and we don't know where to go or what to do, and we have a hard heart, and we close off to responding to people and to enduring all things and spending our lives. And we walk around on tiptoes, and we're scared about what people think about us and say about us, and will they judge us? And yet God's called us to have a soft heart and hard feet and walk down these roads to what? Not waste our lives. Paul continues in Romans to the Roman church. He said this, he says, hey, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, come on, this is you and me, a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing, everyone say renewing, the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. He said, I'm gonna ask you to spend and be spent. He said, I'm gonna ask you to endure all things. In this last one in Romans, he says what? I'm gonna ask you to offer, he said, this is what I'm doing. I'm gonna offer my body as a what? Holy and living sacrifice. Not what I want, Lord, but what you want. And if we're gonna get to the point where we don't waste our lives, we've gotta have that same motto and mantra. It has to be what he wants and not what we want. Listen, if it was up to me, I would golf every single day of my life. I would actually get up every day and I would fish in the morning for about an hour and a half to 2 hours before it gets really hot. And then I'd go over to the golf course, I'd spend all day at the golf course, and I'd come home at night and I'd go swimming like a little fish going through like those Olympians and the Australians last night. They just tore up world records, didn't they? I would go and then put my head on my bed about 10:15 every night and go to sleep. That would be a perfect world for me. But if I did that, I would not be fulfilling the call of God upon my life. I would be wasting so much of it in self-indulgence and pleasure and making my life the best that it could. My life has more with God than I have with myself. Paul said it and I believe it. And this is why he said it. You know why he said it? He said, because the same thing happened to him. When Paul was the great apostle, you have to understand the backstory. Before he was this great apostle, he was actually Saul. He was a murderer. He was a killer. He was a Pharisee above all Pharisees. He actually slayed Christians for their belief in Christ. Paul was not a good guy, but there was one man that we find in scripture that risked it all, did not waste it, so that Paul could be converted and transformed. Paul could say these things so boldly in scriptures. He pinned those words on those papers that we still read today. He says these things so powerfully and convicting. Why? Because someone risked it all for him. Watch this. In Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19, we read this story about a man, only one little sliver in scripture. This is what it says. There's a man named Ananias. It says there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Everyone say Ananias. The Lord said to Ananias in a vision, Ananias, he said, Lord, here I am. Look at the proper response. Lord, here I am. I don't want to waste my life. I'm willing to do, put it in a proper perspective of where you want me to go. Lord, here I am. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he's praying. And he's seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Watch this. As we are pursuing a life of no waste, a call of God to do something great, as nervous as we are, Andre, to step out and do something big for God, God is on the other end working in ways that we don't see. So God was over here in Ananias' house talking to him and promoting him. At the same time, he was over here on Straight Street dealing with this murderer named Saul. And yet you're so scared, you're so fearful about what's going to come. God's got you. And this is what begins to happen next. Ananias departed. He said, okay. Oh, no, you already skipped to it. Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many about this man, how much evil he's done to your saints at Jerusalem, that he here has authority from chief priests to bind all who call in your name. But the Lord said to him, go. We could preach all day. He said, just go. You know, oftentimes we don't even need an explanation, do we? Just go. If we trust God, we either trust God or we don't. Just go. But this is what God said. He goes, I'm going to give you a little explanation. I'm going to give you a little thing here. He says, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. And watch how it closes. It says, Ananias departed, entered the house, and laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul. Andre, I bet Ananias was walking in with some soft feet. Can you see? I mean, because he thought he might be murdered by standing in Saul's presence. He walked in with soft feet, but watch what happened as he entered the house. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me You see the ownership right there, Emily? He said, God sent me. You got to understand that when Pastor Kendall steps on the stage and he takes this microphone, he's saying, God sent me. Come on, when you go up into Walmart and you witness to somebody over in the tomato section, you're saying, God sent me. Come on, when you're at a family reunion, those crazy aunts and uncles, man, you step up, you begin to pray over lunch like no one's ever prayed before. You begin to tell them about how God's transformed your life at Freedom Church. You step up and you say, God sent me so that what? You may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. And he said this, immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and Saul regained his sight. Then he arose, he was baptized, he took food and was strengthened. This was the metamorphosis process from Saul becoming this murderer to this great apostle, this king, this leader that would literally write so much of the New Testament because of one man named Ananias. He stepped up and said, Lord, I don't want to miss a moment. Lord, I don't want to waste my life. Lord, I'm willing to go and do whatever you ask me to do. And the assignment was simple, but the obedience was large. All he asked him to do was come and lay his hands on him, speak a word, and God did the work. No. Ananias didn't have to do much. He just said, I'm going to show up. I'm going to lay my hands. And God did the work. Did Ananias turn his eyes around? Did those scales fall from his eyes because Ananias? No. It fell because God was in the moment. God was in the midst. Those scales fail because of Ananias' obedience and God's power. So this is what happens. We close. Pastor LA is going to come. We're going to close this thing out. This is what happens. There's three things. These are the three things I want you to take away today. That Ananias simply was an available vessel. So how do we not waste our lives? We simply say, Lord, here I am. Yes, Lord, I'm here. Just like he said, Lord, I'm here. Just whatever you want to do, do. You want me to go talk to that person? I go talk to that person. You want me to go start a ministry? Come on, I'll start a ministry. God, you want me to quit my job and go be a missionary in India? Then I'll quit my job and go to India. Just whatever you are available to do, say, God, here I am. Do it. Number two, we simply see that he had to, Ananias, renew his mind. Ooh, this is a big one. Oh, we have to miss this. We can say we're here, but we got to renew our mind because God may ask us to do things that may be anti some things that we think socially, maybe anti some things that we've been raised on. God may ask you to do some crazy and wild things. And Ananias had to what? Retrain his mind because he had already heard all the rumors and all the speculations about who Saul was, but he had to renew his mind and say, all right, God, I'm renewing who I am. I'm about to walk in this moment. I'm about to walk in this. And God, you have to change something here. And if our minds will start to think it, our bodies will start to respond. He had to renew his mind. Number three, he simply had to have what? Like Pastor Kendall talked about last week, he had to have bold faith to execute the plan. That's it. Bold faith to execute the plan. That I'm going to walk and I'm going to trust. I'm going to be there. And when I speak, I'm going to speak that this is me, God. I'm in your presence and I got the faith. You know what we need more of? We need more, like Pastor Kendall said last week, faith. Faith to arise in us that we don't care about what other people think. We got a soft heart and we got hard feet and we're moving forward to not waste our lives. Would you stand with me this morning? Stand up on your feet. We're going to close this service out and we're going to ask God. We're going to ask him this morning to put something in us that we don't waste our lives. Oh, we can all pinpoint and look at different places and moments in our lives where we did waste. Come on, we're all guilty. But what I want today is an action point inside of every single one of us that we begin to move forward, Scott, with bold passion, with an available, Lord, here I am, and a renewed mind to say, God, it's yours. I'm gonna build my life upon you, Jesus. So with your heads bowed, your eyes closed this morning, LA is gonna begin to walk through this song. He's gonna be singing this song. It's called Build My Life. That's what we want to do today. I got two responses for you. I'm going to open these altars this morning. We're going to take just a moment to pray. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But what I want to do today, I finished a little early today so that we could make room for Jesus to come in, execute his plan so that we wouldn't waste our lives. So if you're here today, you're in this room and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, You're like that elderly man that came on that Sunday night, sat on the front row and said, I've wasted it, I've wasted it, I've wasted it. Maybe you're here today, this morning, and you've never been forgiven of your sins. Maybe you're watching online and you've never, ever said the sinner's prayer. Maybe you've never turned over your life and made him Lord of your life. You need Jesus today to come inside and renew you, take away sin, make you holy, make you righteous, and do big things for him. That's the first thing I want to pray for this morning. You need Jesus to show up in your life. The second thing, you're here this morning, you say, Kyle, I don't want to waste it. Man, I feel the heartbeat and the anointing of what you're saying this morning. And how many ever years you have left, whether it's 25 or 10, maybe you've got 50 years in front of you. Today, you feel your heart beating the same way mine does every morning I wake up and every night when I go to bed. I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste what he's given me, the talents and the abilities that are inside of me. I want them to be for his glory. Only one life and it will soon be past. And only what's done for Christ will last. You feel that this morning. You're here and you feel that same heartbeat. You say, Kyle, I want to do more. I want to do more as LA begins to sing this song. And I pray this final prayer. I want you this morning, if you feel that, either one of those two questions, I want you to come to this altar this morning and spend just a moment. Make it right. Make a decision with God. So right now, Father, across this room, I know you're dealing with hearts. As you talk to Ananias, you are also talking to Saul. And I know that you're talking to me. You're talking to every man and woman in this room today. Let it start something today. Let it ignite something. Father, there may be career changes in this room today. There may be new choices that need to be made. Father, I pray that today, you would spark in us passion to not waste our lives. Come on, if you need prayer, would you move this morning?